to think that we've come again to the final concluding meeting of Winter Youth Conference 2014. We look forward to the time together, to be here together, to be around the sound, under the sound of the word together, have fellowship together, and then it's here and it's gone so quickly. But it's been wonderful to be together the last couple days, and we just want to take now a little time, look at the scriptures, and I want to begin by doing an extremely fast summary, really, of the four lectures that we've had before us, and then look at a man who was faced with all of the situations that we've talked about, and he was faced with them all at the exact same time, and the challenge being, what was the response? So, if we turn and look very quickly in Genesis chapter 1, Genesis chapter 2, Genesis chapter 3, and Genesis chapter 4. We had four lectures. And we find that we go back to the very principle of each of the situations and challenges that were faced in each one of the lectures, and they are given to us at the very beginning of the scriptures of the Word of God and laid out in principle. Genesis 1, Genesis 2, 3, and 4. They didn't follow here the same order that we took them up. But if we take them very quickly in the order that the scripture gives to us, then we have in Genesis chapter 1, God created them male and female. Genesis chapter 1. The very beginning of the Word of God, He lays out and gives to us and brings into this world and creates what He had purposed in His heart, in His mind, in eternity past, and there He brings, and He puts man into this world, and He creates them male and female. And we've been challenged, and we live in a world that takes this very principle and seeks to throw it away and turn it inside out, upside down, but whatever they do, it is not to follow that principle that God has stated in His Word. He created them male and female. Let's remember, it's in His Word. There's the principle. Genesis chapter 2. What is the principle we learned? What is the lecture that we had? The first one, immorality. Genesis chapter 1, throwing that principle, that ordinance, that creation of man and woman away. Genesis chapter 2. What was the next thing that God took? Male and female. And He said, therefore, in verse 24 of chapter 2, shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. The institution of marriage. Genesis chapter 2. The very first institution that God had given to man, given to us again at the very beginning of the scriptures, at the very beginning of the Word of God. And what do we find? That the marriage institution is sought in this world and by man to throw it away. And yet it is the most blessed institution that is given to men in this world. It's been said that this is the most, in the Lord, the most blessed relationship that man and a woman can have in this scene. Outside of Him, it can be the absolute worst nightmare that you live in your life. Oh, that that institution be taken in the holiness and sanctity that God intended it in Genesis chapter 2, for a man to leave his father and mother, cleave unto his wife, and they too shall be one flesh. The institution of marriage. Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, we find the fall of man. We see Satan coming into the picture, and what does he do? He presents to Eve something that makes Eve look off of the Lord, off of the word of the Lord, And he deceives her by manipulating the word of the Lord. And she, what does she do? She sees in Genesis 3 that she says, it looks in verse 6, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof. She looked at herself and she saw that there was something for her, and the age of self began. And it's never changed. Genesis chapter 3. And when we looked at social media and Genesis chapter 11 was brought out before us, what did we see? We see that man said, let us do this, let us do that. And it was the man rising up in rebellion and in pride to set God aside, to set his order aside, to set his word aside. We'll have none of this, and we will make something of ourselves. This is what he said in his heart. Begun in Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 4. Here we had the world system. The world system had begun. And what did we see that was in the world? We saw the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. All of it, Genesis chapter 4. Every one of those characteristics there, and we saw the system of the world. We saw who was behind the system of the world, the leader of it. We saw his motivation. And when we referenced Isaiah and the pride of Satan that lifted him up, and which is what brought him down, and is the very principle and the very motivation that we see in the system, in the world system. And as has been said, there's nothing new under the sun. Genesis 1, Genesis 2, 3, and 4. Four lectures, really, all came out of those four chapters. And there's nothing different for us today, young people. And one of the things that I'd like to emphasize for us as we conclude and leave here is the all-sufficiency of the Word of God. Nothing new under the sun. All the principles laid out in the very beginning of the Word of God and Jesus Christ. You know, in Hebrews 13, where we read of him, he is the same. That's a capital S. He is the same. That's a name that is given to him that gives a very characteristic of who he is yesterday, today, and forever. And nothing changes. And so these principles that he has laid out will not change. But Satan, the prince and the power of this world, seeks to get our eyes off of Christ, off of the Word of God, and looks, as he did in Eve in Genesis chapter 3, to derail what God had set up, what God had purposed, and that would be to destroy the testimony for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in this scene. Now, who is the man who is faced with every one of these characteristics all at the same time and had to stand? And who did stand? And his name is Moses, the man of God. Turn to Exodus 32. Every characteristic that we've seen and looked at in our lectures yesterday, and as we've seen, is brought before us in the condition, in the situation that faced Moses in Exodus chapter 32. And I'm going to read a few verses here for us. So we have the background before us, and we see what is happening here. Exodus 32, and beginning at verse 1, and when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron. And he said unto him, Up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. And Aaron said unto them, Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people brake off the golden earrings which were in the ears and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made a proclamation and said, Tomorrow is a feast unto the Lord. And they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play.